pointy. Ready, set.
Hi, I'm Elaine Moore. Apparently, I'm 56 years old. It's May 20th, 2017. I'm here at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago, Illinois. And the next person you will hear speak is my husband.
Hi, my name is Jim DeWan. I'm 3 weeks shy of 58 years old. Today is May 20th, 2017. We're at the Old Town School in Chicago. I'm here with my lovely wife, Elaine Campbell Moore. And we're talking about the Old Town School. We were debating who started first. Technically, I started first because I was in the employ of the Old Town School before she was, but I was working at one of their, they used to have satellite branches.
Right.
And I was in LaGrange, Illinois. I was teaching on Thursday nights with Mark Dvorak and Alvin McGovern and Alvin's girlfriend, Chris McIntosh.
And how'd
Chris
you get,
McIntosh?
How'd you get
McIntyre?
Hired?
I can't remember. Sorry, Chris.
McIntosh. How'd okay. you get hired?
I was in a band in the...
Called
Ripe for the Pickin'.
And for short...
RFTP.
Bluegrass people.
And old time and swing and just... I always wondered why we didn't get more famous, and we were at the FLA, and the FLA Kill, it's an Irish music competition we go to every year with our kids.
Last weekend we were there.
Last weekend we were down in St. Louis, but I think 2 years ago when we were in St. Louis, Dave Reynolds, who used to run the old Quarter Coffee House out in Brookfield,
yeah.
where we used to play with that band, this is before I knew you.
Said, Jim, I always wondered why you guys never got famous.
RFTP? No. He said, I've got old recordings of that from your band. Because I had always wondered why we never got famous. And he gave me these old recordings. I was like, oh, this is why. We sucked.
You didn't suck. I heard you guys.
But anyway,
that's how you got hired.
But so we were on some radio show that took place at the Old Town School. On Armitage, on the stage, it was a weekly radio show. I forget what it was called, and we played. And then Michael Miles called me up the next week and said, "Hey, you want to teach?"
So he heard you guys.
Yeah, and you want to teach? I couldn't. I forget why. I was going out of town for something, so I couldn't commit to the full 8 weeks. But I said, "Hey, call my friend Mark Dvorak because he'd be great." And so
who still works at the Old Town School?
So
lovely. And apparently owes you his job.
His life.
His life.
Yeah.
At the Old Town School.
Yeah.
Apparently this is
anyway.
News to me. But well, that was nice of you.
Anyway, but then Michael said, we'll start next session. So I did. So I started teaching. It was in this fall of 1986 out in LaGrange with Alvin and Mark and those guys. And then it wasn't until the following summer in 87 when I started teaching at the main branch, which was not at Armitage because Armitage was being renovated at the time, and so they temporarily had moved up to the Irish American Heritage Center,
an old public school that the Irish folks have been fixing up ever since they got it.
And 30 years ago, it was
still kind of school like. I mean,
they didn't occupy the third floor. We were on the third floor, and I walked in, and there you were.
So that's where we met.
That's where we met.
But I'm going to talk about how I came to work there. Because it goes back so long, and the reason I ever even thought to apply for a job at the Old Town School is because I knew about it, and I had known about it my whole life because you knew my delightful Aunt Nan, Ann Moore, who is no longer with us, but she attended some of the first classes at the Old Town School in 1958, because it opened in December of 57, but I have her old guitar and I have the receipt, and she bought it, I believe, in January of 58 at Lyon and Healy for $125. It's a Martin 0017 mahogany guitar, and she had a little form in there that she was paying it off $5 a month, $125 guitar, $5 a month, and she was a classically trained pianist and a great singer, and she got swept up in that folk craze, the folk scare, and she went, Frank Hamilton was her teacher, and she knew Wynn, and she knew Don Greening, and she knew all these people. And so,
have you ever asked Frank if he remembered her?
Yes, of course. Frank is so nice. He pretends to remember her. I don't know if he really does. He is such a nice guy. I don't know. He always goes, oh, yes, and more. He is such a nice guy. Maybe he does. I don't know. There weren't that, you know, there couldn't have been that many people. But Nan, of course, she picked up the guitar in a snap, and she... We lived in South Shore, and she would come down and sing and play for us. She lived on Surf Street pretty much her whole adult life and worked in a bank, and music was her whole thing. And so she, you know, I have her old Town School book sheets where they'd hand out a chart. And Nan, in learning the melody, would write the in notation. She would draw a little staff and write the melody down to remember how it went. So, I mean, she could do that. Now we give everybody the melody. Most people don't read the melody, except the teachers can, but some of the students we have don't read music. But she would write out the melody as she learned it. So I have those old sheets. But so she always talked about it. She loved the place. She taught me to play guitar when I was about in seventh grade. And so when I was sick of being a writer at an international advertising trade magazine, which I despised, I hate advertising, it sucked. I thought, and other things were going on where I just thought, can I please have a job with something that I, you know, that means something to me? And so I applied for that little job. I saw an ad in the Reader, and Michael Miles, thank you very much, hired me to work at the Old Town School in June of 1987. So let's do the math.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Because then you...
And then we met in the hallway of the Irish Center.
Right, and so... If you didn't start working until June, it was early June.
I don't know.
I do, because I must have met you on your, like, first day or
I remember you and Mark walking by. I thought you guys were – there were no students. I mean, it was just a sad situation. I thought, this is the Old Town School. Can I please talk about what it was like? I walked in, and now this is not like 1902. This was 1987. And the place had – I didn't see really any students. There was no evidence, you know, of really much going on at all because they had moved into, you know,
temporary.
This weird location.
Yeah.
So a few diehard students dragged themselves over there, but it was not booming in any way, shape, or form. But I was put out in the hallway alone with nothing happening and a telephone and a little silver lock box. And in that little safety box thing were these different colored pencil cases in which all the funds from the Old Town School coming and going would be separated by, you know, where the money was from or supposed to go. So it was like yellow pencil case for group classes, green pencil case for private lessons. I was like, what is this place? It just seemed it was the most rinky-dink thing. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was not like every other business didn't have a cash register. But they also had sticky notes.
Right.
So there were the two things, the pencil cases and the sticky notes. And if you had to borrow money from one pencil case to pay another because you couldn't make change, you had to put a sticky note. You know, group owes private $14. And so I was trained in about 10 minutes. And then I was asked to do a crossword puzzle with the person who trained me. It was just bizarre. Phone rang like every few hours. Paul Boyle?
Paul Boyle. I don't know who you mean. He played the auto harp. Yeah.
And so you and Mark seemed like this breath of fresh air walking down the hall. You'd play music. Jim would pull up a chair and play the guitar and sing to me. What was it that you would sing?
I'm in the mood for love.
I'm in the mood for love.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
you had a big crush on me.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, I had just met you. God, you're a little presumptuous there.
I'm presuming. But it was a little weird over there. And late at night, I would lock that Irish American Heritage Center. I wouldn't lock it up. But remember, there was like a caretaker guy or an engineer. And I was alone. I would leave alone, 10 p.m. over there at the Irish Center and walk out. That guy would lock, you know, let me go out. And I'd somehow wander back to the train or whatever I did. But so then, Jim, can we please, and you and I and Mark would go get buckets of beer or pitchers at the
Brick and Beam up on Lawrence. It's no longer there.
No.
And they had the best burgers. And I remember, so Mark, you and Mark and I were at the Brick and Beam one night, and Mark didn't smoke, but Elaine and I both smoked.
Mark had smoked before.
Had he been a smoker?
He's an ex-smoker. I'm just saying, we're not the only bad ones. Can we please skip all this excitement, though, because how much did people smoke at Armitage?
Oh, well, hold on. Well, I mean, we're not to Armitage. We're never
going to get there, Jim.
Well, that's okay, but I just have to tell this story because...
So we got to Armitage.
So it was summer, right? And it's there. And so Mark and Elaine and I are sitting on bar stools, and Elaine and I put fresh cigarettes in our mouth, and Elaine says, watch this, right? And so... You take the book of remember matchbooks? There used to be these things called matchbooks.
Oh,
and she takes a matchbook and she throws it down on the ground and she kicks off her flip-flops and she grabs the matchbook with the toes of one of her feet and lifts it up and then with her other foot uses her toes to pull a match out of the matchbook and lights the match using only her feet and then grabs her leg and lifts it and she lights the cigarette using only her feet. And I was like, this is the girl
that's
for me.
What you got.
That's who I want to spend my life
that's
with.
That's right. All right. I know. It's famous. famous. Okay.
In the Library of Congress.
In the Library of Congress. It's down for the record. Now, let me just say... Can I please say, that was all fun and good, but we had to get out of there. We only had
a lease. But
and we had to go to Armitage. And can we just say that Armitage wasn't even finished when we got there?
Okay. And I want to say one more thing about before we leave there is that, so I was teaching there on Saturday mornings, and I was teaching, there were four of us. It was me, Michael Miles, Barb Barrow, and Eric Hammerland was the four of us. And it was so much fun because Barb Barrow... is such a great singer, and I had so much fun singing with those guys.
Yeah.
And
it was so like there must have been second... students because you had all
well,
those
yeah,
classes
not,
running.
Well, yeah, not many. Well, there were four. I mean, there
well,
were
yeah,
four classes. We,
pro- four
we probably
classes
we probably had like we had probably had like five students in each class.
Yeah,
I don't really remember. I mean, I don't remember what level it was.
I mean,
anything.
It was good that they moved over there because it sort of kept the name alive. But the big thing was that Armitage was being redone, and when we walked back in, it was super neat. I mean, I had gone by the place when it was still sort of had.
When you say neat.
Oh, it looked so cool. You could tell that the rehab, the redo was nice.
But it wasn't done, remember?
No, it was not done.
It was not close to being
done. Can we please say that to use the ladies' bathroom, you had to ask someone to hold up an old board in front of the stall. And then there were like, it was like spray painted ladies, you know, or don't come in or go away. I don't know. You had to go in the bathroom and someone had to hold up a wooden piece of thing in front of you like you were in an outhouse sitting in the alley in Armitage. It was just terrible.
Well, there wasn't even a men's bathroom. It was a chimp holding a bucket. That's.
But also, I mean, I worked straight through them actually revarnishing the floors in there. And I mean, I think years have been taken off my life. I'd like to sue. I lost a lot of brain power. I mean, I sat there. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I was overwhelmed with fumes for hours and hours while they refinished the floors. It was terrible because we didn't close. But then once the fumes were gone and there was no danger of explosion, we all started teaching. The students started coming back. We all started smoking cigarettes throughout the building, behind the front desk, in front of all the Wiggleworm parents, everything. Wiggleworm started up. Classes started up. You could, I mean, it was
not. We never smoked in class, though.
Seriously?
I don't think so. No.
Regardless, there was a big.
When I was in grad school,
smoking culture.
When I was in grad school, we smoked in class.
Yeah.
That was great.
This interview is not about your graduate school.
It is about smoking, though.
It is. So can I just say, because I really wanted to make this point that Armitage went off like, you know, a house of fire. Michael Miles did such an unbelievable job of hiring great people. He and Jim did such an unbelievable job of deciding, he had the vision
Jim
thing.
Hirsch.
Yeah, Jim Hirsch and Michael Miles had the vision thing going.
Yeah.
And the school that it is here now, with all this, you know, fancy stuff, you could see the seed of that in all the decisions that they made over the years that I worked at Armitage, because I was not a teacher yet. Michael later hired me. He just heard me playing in the office and kindly hired me to teach. But I was on the admin staff, and it just boomed. And you could just see that they had all these ideas, and all the stuff that we do now is all, you know, I know the biography of a hunch is like the Wynn Strachey story.
Oh, yeah.
But Jim and Michael, they just went crazy on it. And I remember Jim Hirsch holding up a copy of the CD of Graceland, you know, Paul Simon,
mm-hmm.
and saying this whole world music thing, this is folk music. This is folk music. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And Michael hired all these teachers.
Oh, yeah, because in the 70s in Chicago, it was all about
songwriters.
The songwriters. Yeah. And right. And that's kind of what the Old Town School had been, maybe. And then Jim Hirsch started doing all these world music concerts. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, we had the Festival of Latin Music. It was
amazing.
Oh, my
God, I remember working on that.
And I was not a folk music person, except in the singer-songwriter thing. I loved Joni Mitchell. I loved Carole King. I loved Judy Collins. But I loved Ella Fitzgerald. I loved Great American Songbook, and I had studied classical music. And so the folk music thing, if I may just say, it was a little frightening at times. I didn't really understand what was going on. But the concerts at Armitage totally blew me away. It was kinds of music I had never heard.
Do you remember the time we went to the Puerto Rican Heritage Center to play music? It was you and me and Michael. And I was just talking about this the other day. And you and me and Michael, and I forget who else. It might have been Barb. It might have been Mark. I don't know. But that, so it was like you know, we'll play Old Town School of folk music, and then you guys play your music, and it started off with these Puerto Rican musicians. Like, one person went up on stage and started doing this rhythm that didn't make any sense to me, just very simple, you know, ba 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 ba, and then somebody else got up and started doing another rhythm on another percussion instrument that was not the same thing, and then like one by one, and so finally there was like seven people on stage all doing a very specific individual rhythm, but the whole thing together was just like just crazy, and I'm thinking, oh, now we're gonna get up and play our little white people songs for these people, and this is gonna sound like just silly. And it was I just remember that was a lead up to that Latin festival, that first Latin festival of Latin music.
It rings a bell, but I'm thinking of concerts like when the Barrett Sisters and the Olivet Sisters, that couple of gospel groups that are Chicago. They were, you know, Chicago groups that I loved it so much. And I remember Dedannon. I was talking to you about it this morning. I had never heard.
Frankie Gavin.
And
I yelled at him. Remember that?
Oh, that was a terrible night. Wait, let's get. Okay, that was a terrible night. But that show was so great. Right. And hearing. There was something else. Oh, my God. When I was upstairs and I said, who is doing that sound check? And I went charging down at Armitage and went into the concert hall. And it was Alison Krauss. She was like a teenager singing.
Oh, yeah.
And she was on the Masters of the Folk Violin Tour.
Oh, right.
And it was so beautiful. But so can I say that we were there for concerts? Because, like, you would house manage a concert. I would house manage.
And we'd just go. And all the time.
I had
the
every
steps.
Job. Can I please just say that I was on the admin staff there. And the jobs that I had were so many. I mean, it was so bizarre. But one of them was that we would take turns. We'd all take turns house managing shows. And you were there when Frankie Gavin was there, the great Irish fiddle player.
Right,
and you had to tell him that he had to go sleep at 9:39 next to the L train in a rollaway bed.
I don't remember that.
Yes, he was furious, Jim.
I don't.
They saw their accommodations, and he was furious.
That's
and
not,
you said, don't be an asshole.
No. That's,
okay, retail.
No, what I don't think it was about sleeping in the shitty accommodation.
But he was, maybe that was when I was house manager.
No, because what he wanted to get paid in cash, and we didn't have the cash.
I don't care.
And I said, we literally don't have enough cash here to pay you your fee. And he was livid.
Oh, I remember.
And I said, look. So, I mean, I called Jim Hirsch. I'm like, what are you doing? And so I said, look, I can give you all the cash we have, and then I can write you a check for the rest of it. He like was having none of it. And finally I said, look, and he's yelling at me. I said, look, I'm trying to help you, and you're being a dick. And
It was a tense. All very tense.
He's a great fiddle player, though.
Yes. Don't get him wrong.
No, I did a gig with him many years later, remember? And I'm trying to remember now if I told him that story, if I reminded him of that story. But I can't
remember.
Well,
speaking of fiddle players, I just looked at an old brochure.
I thought you were
going to
say, speaking of calling people dicks.
No. Well, if I may say, I mean.
Speaking of fiddle players.
When I was on the. No, but after Michael hired me to work there, I went through so many jobs and accumulated so many jobs because I think as I recall, our budget was about $3 million when we were sort of at the end of it just being at Armitage. You know, it was a decent budget. It wasn't a teensy little budget, but there were so few of us all doing all this stuff that I had all these weird jobs all kind of piled up on top of each other. Like, first I was the office manager, but then I stopped doing that, and then I was the volunteer coordinator and the private student coordinator and the you know, space rental coordinator and the editor of the lead sheet and the, you know, I helped Doug Fitzsimmons, can we please say, he designed all those beautiful brochures, not to mention wired the building and did a million other things. I love doing all that stuff. House managing, it all piled up, but I was just looking at these old brochures to sort of remind myself. And on one page, there was good old Roberto Arce,
oh, yeah.
Peruvian guy teaching, wonderful guy. Liz Carroll was teaching a fiddle thing. Hello. And Greg Cahill had a banjo class, and Michael Smith had a songwriting class.
Right.
I mean, those are some...
Robbie Foulkes used to teach here.
Robbie Foulkes taught forever.
Yeah.
And so...
Andrew Bird used to teach here. Remember that?
I was in his class. Deb Lader and I had to take over the class, but that's another story. that's true. Irish fiddle with Andrew Bird. But anyway, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just... Go on, Jim.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was fun. It was fun. The whole volunteer coordinating thing was insane because the volunteers did so much, as they still do. But, I mean, we would stay up till 2, 3 in the morning, seas of volunteers in the lobby at Armitage putting stickers and organizing mass mailings of like 10,000 pieces. And Doug and I would stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning finishing those beautiful brochures. That's what I was going to say. An unsung hero of Armitage is Doug Fitzsimmons, long gone. That guy could do anything. He was, I think, a certifiable genius. And he left the school, but not without having fixed, like, everything in the building and designed all those beautiful brochures. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Many people contributed to the Old Town School's success. May I just say that? Including volunteers. I mean, you know. And Michael's ingenious hiring of staff, many of whom are still associated with the school. Many left in a fury and a huff over the years of various reasons.
But we won't talk about that.
We won't
now.
Talk about those. But I mean, I made so many good friends. Some of them are still here. I met you. You know, I mean, for God's sake, we have children.
We have children.
Right?
We have children.
Violet and Seamus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Both of whom have studied here.
That's right. So Armitage was great, and it just boomed and boomed. And it got and Wiggle Worms, Catherine Hall, what would I do without Catherine Hall? She's my best friend for decades who, you know, was a Wiggle Worm teacher here and is such a fantastic musician. High quality. High standards. Wiggle Worm teachers had to be good musicians.
Who invented Wiggle Worms?
I think Kathy Lahiff. But Catherine was one of
the
very first.
It wasn't Vicky?
Well, Vicky took it and ran with it, my
Vicky
God.
Vicky Moss?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, no, Catherine was, she was one of the sort of star, rock star Wiggle Worm teachers with parents chasing her down the street trying to get into her class. Meanwhile, all the Wiggle Worms piling through the door. Do you know, I remember the day when we were told we had to be nice to the Wiggle Worm parents. We had to.
What do you mean? For some reason,
that had to be spelled out. We're all in there smoking. People were lining up. It was like the Beatles were appearing, you know, in 1964. People were practically pounding down the doors to get in a damn Wiggle Worms class. And they were irritated, and they weren't nice.
The parents weren't. Oh, that's why you were told to
be
nice.
The children were nice. I used to bring my dog. Remember Sherry was under the desk? She would bark at the mailman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, who do you most remember? Talk about the people, Tim.
Kimosha Murphy.
Oh, look at her. She's dancing her ass off somewhere.
Yeah, she was with the Muntu Dance Theater, right?
Yeah.
Was she the creative director or something like that?
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah.
She's great fun. Yeah. I mean, go ahead. Because you have different memories about the concerts and teaching and the students and the other teachers.
I remember Michael Blackburn always walking up and saying, did you hear about the man with five penises? His pants fit like a glove.
You always said that. Oh, for God's sake. Michael would be our security, are hired security at various things that looked like they were going to turn into a brawl.
What was that? What
he's
was that?
Retired.
Right. He's Cooks County Sheriff's Police. Yeah. And he, remember the night
he's
he was
here for a million years.
Remember the night we were at the, what was that bar that was right next door to the school on Armitage?
That Chinese
the
restaurant?
Chinese, yeah, the Chinese place.
Susie Wong.
Susie Wong's. He went in there. He's like Cook County Sheriff's Police. And the hooker asked him if he wanted sex and cocaine.
Armitage wasn't always quite
no,
so spiffy.
No, it wasn't. Because, in fact, I remember the very first. So right after we moved back from the Heritage Center, we had a big meeting, like an all-school meeting. And I remember Jim Hurst saying, look, when you come out of this meeting at 10 o'clock at night, you walk in pairs to your cars because
this
is not a safe neighborhood to be in.
Well, it had been, well, my brother
it's not,
lived right at that corner. Yeah.
It's not like it is now.
Oh my God, no. No,
and
but
I remember,
you remember
but
when
I,
we'd go in after class to Susie Wong's and
yes.
people would walk in with their guitars and that annoying, like, piano bar guy would start playing on the piano. He'd be like, and then he'd start playing, da 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 da. He'd like do Puff the Magic Dragon in some jazzy piano crappy way, and it was so irritating.
No, I blocked that out.
Oh my God, it was embarrassing. He'd see us all come in with our
no. But I want to say one more thing about that for that opening meeting because we had to go around, and there weren't many people working there. I mean, there weren't a lot of teachers there. You know.
Oh, I remember a room of people.
Well, yeah, but I mean, not like the thousands there are now.
Yeah.
But I remember, so we had to say our name and what we did. So, you know, so I'm Jim Dewan. I'm, you know, I teach guitar, blah, blah, whatever. And when it came to you, you said, I'm Elaine Moore and I'm a naturally fun girl.
Which is remarkable. Remarkable.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Can I say one other thing? After,
of course.
I mean, God, who knows what I've forgotten to mention. But I wanted to say that one of the neatest things that we got to do with our puny little admin staff over there at Armitage was take part in the decision-making regarding the Hild Library.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jim got this.
Jim Hirsch.
Yeah, Jim Hirsch got noticed that, you know, the city wanted to find an organization to go move in there and talk about taking something and running with it. And, you know, we applied, and I remember other organizations. I remember some of the organizations that did. And apparently they thought we had the ability to raise the $10 million to fix it up, you know. But Jim and Michael and some other of us who were on the admin, about five of us, the main people on admin, we all got to go around, for example, and tour the projects of the architects that we were considering to redo that building.
Oh.
Go to the concert halls designed by the people we were considering to design that concert hall. And we got to tour.
What year was that?
I don't know, it was 97, 96.
Yeah,
I don't know. But wait, we got to go into the Hild when it was just this abandoned library. It hadn't, I don't think the heat had been on in 10 years or something. And so that process was so fun. I'd never done anything like that or, you know, before or since. Made decisions based on what things looked like. You know, we all sat in on these very small meetings with architects who made presentations, who held up pictures, you know, of what things might look like. And I'm really glad that I got to be part of that. It was really neat. And look how it turned out.
I know.
I mean, it just is remarkable. The fact that that concert hall is in that space, from the space that we saw originally, the stacks, the old, you know, circulation desk, the beautiful murals, you know, that are that are up there now, that were sort of leaning against the wall. I mean, the paint was peeling. Michelle Hirsch wouldn't even go in the basement. We all toured the basement. But she was sure there were rodents down there, and I'm sure she was right. It was just all these enormous big boilers and creepy old basement stuff. The whole place was a wreck. You know, it was just so neat, though.
I don't think I ever went in there when it was. I wasn't working there. I remember there was a space of about 5 years where I was. I think I was touring too much, so I couldn't.
You didn't teach.
I didn't teach. I subbed. I think I was still technically on staff, maybe, but I was out of town too much.
I have a couple of questions.
Ooh, we have questions from our live audience.
From the fly on the wall. You guys have been here 30 years, longer than a lot of people. You're sort of, one of, like you said, a big group of people who've been hired around that time and have stayed for a really long time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get hired here and they stay for a while. And you guys, you met here, you have a life here, this is your, primary work, right? You teach.
Well, not Jim.
Not me.
I do.
Okay. And I guess overall, we've talked a little bit about this, but how would you say the school has impacted your lives? Speaking of maybe any particular people who've influenced you personally or at work.
Do you want to go first?
Well, I mean, I have a job now, a regular job. And
what is it?
I am.
Remind me.
I'm an assassin.
Jim's a chef instructor at Kendall College.
I'm an assistant professor of culinary arts at Kendall College, and that's my full-time job. I teach one day a week still. I do it because what I didn't tell you this, Kevin Schrimmer, one of my colleagues at Kendall. Found a pick on the floor, somewhere in my kitchen, and said, "Here, I figure this must be yours." I'm like, "Oh yeah, thanks." And he said, "Why do you have a guitar pick?" I said, "I always keep picks in my pocket." He's like, "Really? Why?" And I said, "To remind myself that I'm a musician. I don't want to forget." And so that's one of the things because I've always felt like a musician, and being part of the Old Town School reminds me of that. So every time
Jim's
I come,
he's a great
here,
musician. He's a great songwriter. He's a great guitar player,
so
good singer.
Wow, great, great, and good. That stung a little bit, Elaine.
I'm just kidding. I'm yanking your chain.
It makes me feel, I have so many friends that we mentioned that, are still playing music for a living who I met while I was here. Maybe not, I didn't meet here, but I met while I was here, Liz Carroll and Robbie Foulkes. Great friends of ours,
yeah.
And I've been friends with for 30 years.
Oh my God, I have so many good friends here, and if I start naming, I'll forget. I've learned something from every single teacher I've worked with here.
Yeah, of course.
And the students who come charging through here, we see them. We see people at their very best. I remember when we bought our house, the real estate agent who we met here, who was a student.
Oh, great. Right, Jay.
Jay
Coverman.
He said, "Oh, God, real estate, I see people at their worst. Everybody's greedy. People are talking about money." And I said, "Wow, at the Old Town School, we see people at their best. The students come in. They are trying to learn something. They're trying to improve their lives. They're on their, they're humbled in a way. They're doing something they don't know how to do. Doesn't matter if they're a brain surgeon. We've had those. Rocket scientists had many of those. They're learning something. And so it is always a pleasure and an honor to work with them to be a better musician and to introduce people to music who never thought they could do it. But it's the teachers that I've worked with. I've sat in their classes, I've taken lessons from people, and I've played music with them, and it is a nonstop inspiration and sea of talented, delightful, delightful people that I'm proud to know.
Of course. And also,
then we'll talk about the impact. What a fine impact. I get to play music and sing all day long.
Well, I know.
I've been a full-time teacher now for decades.
And our kids get to grow up in a musical.
And our kids get to grow up.
Which is not how I grew up. And, I
kind of did. A little bit. A lot of singing.
Yeah, but it's like I was saying this to somebody the other day. Like, I grew up, my father worked for Western Electric. He was a businessman, a corporate guy. All his friends were corporate guys. We lived in suburban New Jersey. And it's like, I didn't know anybody. Like, the only thing I knew about music was what I heard on the radio. And so I thought that was how you be a musician. And I never knew that you could be a musician by, by teaching and playing shitty little gigs or doing great gigs sometimes. I used to do great gigs, I played at the Royal Concert Hall in London with Liz. I remember distinctly about three-quarters of the way through that show thinking to myself, look at the audience and remember this moment,
yeah,
because this may never happen again.
Yeah.
And I always remember that moment.
Yeah. Well, it's
it's a delight and a pleasure and an honor to work at the Old Town School, don't you find?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
The company you get
and,
to keep is
well,
wonderful.
I know, because the other thing is musicians as a class of people are generally very jolly. And
the people at the Old Town School are. I don't know if all musicians are.
I'm sure all musicians are not, but I mean, like, all the Irish musicians I work with are very funny. And
they're Irish musicians. I'm telling you. They are funny. They're a blast.
Musicians, as a rule, though, are much – I mean, like, so I work with chefs all day long, and chefs are not like that. I mean, I worked at Kendall for 5 years before – this is serious. I worked there for 5 years before one of my colleagues told me a joke.
This is not the case when people, if you want to be a fly on the wall, go in the teacher's lounge at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Oh my God.
Ed Holstein. Well,
anybody, everybody's in there singing, cracking jokes, cracking wise.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Funny, playing music all at the same time. It's delightful.
It's delightful. That's why I keep. Yeah.
That's why we still work at the.
That's why I know, because Elaine, you're always like, well, are you sure you want to do this class on a Monday night? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, because otherwise, what opportunity would I get?
It's a great time. And that's all. It's fun to talk about it.
I know. I hear Jacob Sweet sing.
I know. Oh my God. I can see Kathy Cowan at least once a week if I'm never going to see her. You know, it's hard to see her. So you get to. I can't even name names. I'll cry.
there was another story I was thinking of, and I can't remember what it was. Something. Oh, I know.
That's a good way to end.
Okay.
Give us another 45 minutes.
Yeah. No, the other thing, when we were talking about Armageddon moving back in there, and you're talking about Archer, do you remember those two half beams that they put in, and they made them look like...
They were sawed off. They're still there.
They were broken, and we moved back in there, and we were like, what the... And everybody who walked in, they'd be like, what's wrong? I mean, everybody was like, what's wrong with that? Is that supposed to be?
Right.
It was somebody's cockamamie idea.
Yes, I know whose it was.
Yeah. Why is there a fiddle bow in one of them?
Well, that was an attempt to crack wise. That was an attempt to make it look like we did mean to do this. It was trying to balance the room, you know what I mean? It was trying to... give a visual so that there wouldn't just be everything on one side. So they did the half columns because there was no reason to have the other columns.
Yeah.
So they made them look like they were broken off. It was sort of deconstructed. You know, I don't know. A lot of plays about...
I don't know.
Let's not name names because I know exactly who did.
I do.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And... But Armitage is great. Long live Armitage. God help that neighborhood.
Oh, I tell you, when we took that picture of all of us in the building, and I was sitting on one of the upstairs windows. That was like one of the proudest moments. I was like, wow, I'm like part of the fucking Old Town School.
Well, I thought you were
going to
say because you overcame your fear of heights for 10 seconds.
It was only the second floor.
You know who else is in that picture? Michael Blackburn's tiny dog, Moose.
Oh, yeah, Moose.
Oh, he's like 23-year-old blind, long-haired chihuahua. One time we all brought our dogs. Michael Miles brought his golden retriever.
Yeah.
I brought my mutt, and Michael Blackburn brought his little chihuahua to second half, and they all chased each other around. It was a disaster. It was a bad idea, but it was part of a theme of music that I'd brought in. It was Three Dog Night. Get it? We only did dog songs. And you said we should do Poodle Little Love in Your Heart. Get it?
Oh, my God.
Can I say the name? Can I say one other name as we go out?
Sure.
Jimmy Tomasello. Jimmy Tomasello.
Yeah? Go ahead.
What a superstar.
Yeah?
That's all I have to say.
All right.
Okay. Well.
One more minute.
Gracie. Yeah. What do you want to say?
I don't know. How long are we going to keep working here? Are we going to be, because when I started, we're planning for the 60th anniversary. When I started, we were planning for the 30th.
Yeah. Didn't we get up and sing, you mean Catherine, at one of those big anniversaries?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Is that when my dad said the aisles were filled with tears?
No, that was when you were in your high school play.
No. I said it after an Old Town School thing.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Are we going to be here for the 90th?
Oh, dear God. I don't know.
Ella Jenkins will be, probably.
Oh, I know.
She'll be 347 years old.
Yeah. No, I can't think of another. The Old Town School is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Nice to meet you here.
Yeah. Good to meet you, Jim.
Yeah. Okay.